Be seated, please. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the New Testament, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Thank you. I love that song, the last song. I asked them to sing that today because I love that phrase, you and I. And, you know, just that we're in this together, you know, that anyone that gets to heaven is not going to get there on their own. Amen? And it's an incredible thing when you and I get to do things together for Jesus, for the kingdom. And, you know, I was reflecting during that song. You know, I've talked to a couple people this morning, you know, about their holidays and, you know, how Christmas or things went over the last couple weeks. And, you know, just reflecting today, because of the conversations of where I and Sean were a year ago, literally. You know our story, and we had resumes out in the world, out in the secular workforce, and we'd went to my sister's after Christmas a year ago, and we were making it. You know, that would be maybe stretching it, but that's kind of what we were doing, just existing, getting through. And, you know, we went through the holidays and made the best of them, but we were going back into the world, the secular workforce, and just felt like this was done, you know, this was over. And we were riding back from Northern Virginia, and it's incredible how God works. And Sean just, we were on 95, and Sean said, "Can I say something to you, you know?" And, you know, of course, I said, "Yes, honey, sweetheart, dear," and stuff like that. And she said, you said a quote at your sister's that said, you know, when your heart dies, you die. And it pretty much talked about when you lose your heart for things, that you begin to wither away. And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "We need to pray about ministry again." You know, and it really caught me off guard because I knew I couldn't ever bring that subject up and didn't really feel that I ever would again. And so we had this conversation riding down 95 that said, you know, "You really think so?" You know, and it kind of went like that. And we walked through this kind of, not disillusionment, but this moment that was surreal. Like, are we really having this conversation that we're going to pray about ministry again? Because, I mean, that's a long conversation now. And so we agreed that we would start praying about it, but some of you know that on very important subjects in my life, being three times, this one being the third, we would fleece God. You know, we would put something out in front of God that nobody would know about, and we would pretty much frame it up that, "God, if you're speaking to us, you have to speak to us in such a clear, evident way that there's no room for error here. There's no room for question or doubt, because the battle of going back in the ministry is a whole new battle." Because, anyway, it stirred up a lot of mess, and we knew it would. And we knew that unless God was saying, "Do this," we couldn't do this. And so we put a fleece out, Sean and I, before God, that for about 10 days to 2 weeks. And it was answered in so many ways that literally we would call each other laughing. I mean, it was that specific and that overwhelming on how God would speak to us and say, "Hey, it's me. You know, I'm calling you to do this." And for you to be here and for me to be here, for us, you and I, to be here today, it's an incredible thing from my vantage point. And I just want to tell you, I love you guys, and yeah, but that song is really how I feel. I mean, if I could sing, that would be my song, you know? You and I, you know, we choose to believe. You and I choose surrender. You and I choose to love, and it's an incredible thing, you know, that we're here today. And so could we give just Jesus and his grace a thank you right now? And I want to encourage you, you know, because I know some of you are kind of making it, like I was a year ago. to look back and think that was a year ago, that's incredible. You know, because when you're in the storm seems really big. And when you don't know when it's going to end and all, you know, it can be overwhelming. I've been there. I understand. And so if you'd have told me a year ago, hey, Bob, guess where you and your home will be in a year? I'd think, you're crazy. There's just no way. That's not going to happen like that. And yet, to reflect and look back and know what God has done. Because the scripture we've based this off of, our marriage, my life, our ministry, is out of Isaiah 61, where it says he can make beauty from ashes. And I'm telling you, God can get in your moment, and in a week or however long, I mean, whatever you need to know today, know that you'll look back in the difficult moments and find you've learned some of the most eye-opening, heart-opening lessons of your life about you, people in your life, and about God. So don't be disillusioned right now, because God is still God. And he loves you as much as he loves me, and he loves me as much as he loves you, and it's all going to be good. Amen? All right, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if who? Who? Say anyone. Look beside you and you see if you see anyone. See anyone? Think about that. If anyone, John 3:16 says whosoever, right? Anyone is a whosoever, and whosoever is a anyone. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and that means if we've accepted Christ, it's a spiritual position, and I'll talk about that more in a moment. It says that we are a what? Come on, help me out. A new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The Message says it like this. I love to read the Message's paraphrase of scripture. It says, now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, and a new life burgeons. So we get fresh beginnings with Jesus Christ. And I want to talk for a couple weeks, probably this month, I would imagine, a better me, a better you, a better us. And I want to talk today about a better me and a better you. Kind of playing off, you know, obviously January 1. And how do we truly turn the corner? What are some things that'll help me? I'll be talking from my vantage point, but I think you'll be able to apply it as well. And there's a prayer. It's called the Franciscus of Assisi prayer. And you'll see it in like 12-step programs. You'll see it out in a lot of areas. Written probably during World War I in France for a prayer of peace. And I want to kind of read that prayer as the prayer today for today's message. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Not to be understood, but to understand. Not to be loved, but to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And so God, help us, you know, this year to be contributors and to learn how to live. I mean, truly, truly live. 2011 right now is just over 34 and a half hours old. You got about 8,725 and a half hours left in the year. So I suggest that we get busy and we do something with it. And, you know, one of the things that I've found is a greater position for us in life is not to focus on what you don't want to be any longer, but focus on what you want to be. Because focus gets direction. And so, you know, as an example, if you want to hate less, well, make it you want to love more. Because whatever word you fixate on is the word you drum all the time. And so instead of being less angry, let's be more happy. You understand? I mean, don't focus on the negative things, because that's what you feed yourself. And so I would challenge you today to just really settle your heart. You know, I was watching a guy yesterday. He was talking about resolutions, and he was talking about these percentages that in 2 weeks, 30% of us quit. In 4 weeks, 60% of us quit. And in 6 weeks of the new year, 80% of us give up on changes we want to make. And so I'm not really about all new resolutions, but I am about reviewing my life and really saying, you know, God, what would I want to be said more about me in a year than is said now? What would I want to be more prevalent? What would I want to be more true about me? What would I want people to honestly be able to say about me that, you know me and know me the best? And so that's kind of what today is going to be about. And you already know, change is hard, is it not? You know, whoever told you 28 days will get it done lied. Right? Have you ever heard that? You make change a habit 28 days. I mean, day 29 comes and you're right back. So that's not exactly true. I mean, really what it takes to change are these small, almost imperceptible, deliberate decisions that you make in real time. They may not even show up in your life. You just know inside you chose to or chose not to, or you checked yourself or something that as you continue to make those decisions deliberately and conscientiously in the moment, soon you find that you start becoming someone new. Do you understand that? And so we're not going to make these crazy changes. You know, always and never are bad words. You know, don't start the year off saying, I'll never, because you will, I promise you. And then don't say, I'll always, because you won't. You're going to mess, always and never will mess you up. Isn't that true? So why not just say, hey, I'll give it my best. I'll do what I can. I'll always give all my effort. Something like that. And if I fall, I will get back up. I mean, just set yourself up for success. And so always and never going to mess you up. Old and new, it's kind of how we think. We want to look in the past now and talk about old. We want to look in the future and talk about what's going to be. The problem is you can't live in the past and you can't live in the future. All we have is right now. Isn't that right? And the thing is, if we don't learn from the past, we're going to keep dragging our past around to where it's right behind us all the time. To where we'll always look at the future and it eludes us. And so to live a better now, I do need to glean some lessons from my past. So do you. And then we'll be set up for a greater future. Do you understand that? And so, I mean, our past is what it is, and though we can't change it, we shouldn't completely ignore it. Say amen. And though I can't get in the future, I should at least set myself up for whatever's coming my way to be ready for it. Say amen. The writer of this scripture is Paul. I don't know if you know about Paul. Paul had an incredible past. I mean, he was a trip is what he was. He really thought he was working for God, and he was killing Christians. Literally, there's stories of him where he would go in the temple, and if you were a Christ follower, he'd have you destroyed right there. In the book of Acts, you can find him having Stephen killed right in front of him. And so this is the guy that he thinks he's doing something for God. He's a zealot. I mean, he's off the chain, and then God arrests him one day and changes his life. And so when Paul writes down, I mean, when you can really look at someone who had a former life and then has a changed life, you should listen to those people. Amen? And so when Paul says, hey, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, he's speaking not only from, hey, this is what I've heard, this is what I've read, this is what he knows. And he's trying to teach us, I mean, trying to teach anyone that's in Christ, a Christ follower, that you truly can have a past in the past. And you truly can become a new beginning, a new creation in him. Amen? And so he's not speaking, you know, something he learned in school. He's talking about Jesus arrested him, and by the power of God in his life, he made some ridiculous changes. And so for us, for me, when I review my life, there's still today changes I want to make. But when I look to Bob to make them, Bob is going to fail me. There's things I just can't do on my own. And Paul says, good news. If you're in Christ, you're not the same anymore. There's a new creation in you. The old has passed away. And then he uses some significant words. Behold, all. Why don't you say that? All. All things have become new. Aren't you glad it's all? Here's what it means. New creation, it means recently made, fresh of a new mind. When Christ comes into your life, or when you repent, or whatever that looks like in your life, and you determine to make a change, there's already a creative power in you. Think of Genesis 1:1, right? The earth is without form and void, and darkness is on the face of the deep, and it's chaos. And I love what it says. And the Spirit of God was hovering there. And God said, let there be light. Right? And by God's creative power, he took nothing and fixed something and made it beautiful. It's what he can do in our life. He comes into our life. His creative power, Genesis 1:1 power, is in you if you're in Christ. And so he can make you different. Amen? Tell him thanks. Come on. Let's get some energy. Amen. You got to hear this. When he says old things have passed away, listen to what old means. That which has been from the beginning, primal conditions. In other words, we'd say our secular or our sinful condition. The nature that's been in us from the beginning, he says, old, that nature has passed away. It's gone. It's been removed from you. And then he says, behold, all things become new. Listen to what new means. It means to come into existence, to begin to be. It's happened, or it comes upon the stage of your life now. I love that. I mean, I was thinking about this. You know, you walk on the stage. The new condition has walked up on the stage of your life right now and wants to have an audience with you, wants to have a voice, wants to perform in your life. The new condition is in you. He just wants, or she just wants, the ability to speak and to have the ability to start taking control. Amen? And then it says, all things have become new, and now, this is crazy, all things are of God. Wouldn't you like to be there? To where your whole life is of God. And what he's telling us is, that's in you. The potential to live a godly life, the potential to live a God-honoring life, the potential to overcome the you that you just don't want to perpetuate anymore, it's in you. The potential to leave your past behind, it's in you. Those things that you look in the mirror or keep you awake at night and think, I'd love to change that, that's already in you. Just the fact that you've thought about changing it proves that it's already in you. Amen? Let me talk about it for a few moments. The past. The past, the former, the old, you can't change it. But I do want to tell you a couple things. I don't think it's wise to completely ignore your past, because your past can teach you some things. Here's what I know about the past. If we're not careful, and I'm speaking very personally right now, if we're not careful, our past can leave us jaded, to where we're exhausted, we're worn out, can leave us cynical. You ever been there? It can leave us to where we're disillusioned. It can leave us to where we're numb to the world around us. I mean, I'm speaking from Bob right now. I mean, though you may create an ugly past, you can get to where you're jaded by the experience and the experience of the world around you in it. To where if you're not careful, you put up walls. You start shunning people away. You don't let people close to you. Prejudice, and I don't mean racially. I can just tell you, I can hear the word Christian anymore, and I've got a read on it. And it's not always good. Hello? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can get to where there's just this faulty programming in you now, to where your past jades you and scars you,
It's like, well, I mean, you'll just determine, I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to let that. I'm not going to let those people close to me anymore. I'm not going to let anyone in my world anymore. People stink. That's just the way it is. Walls. You ever build a wall around your life? Anybody? Yeah. Here's something counselor taught Sean and I. Some things in the past are worth redeeming. Every part of your past is not terrible. And there may be some things that you need to look back and go fix a friendship with somebody. For Sean and I, it was a location we needed to go and make ours. It was a song that needed to be owned again so we could sing it and worship God again. Just stuff that it's like you can't just throw everything in the trash and say, everything in the past is horrible. It's not. And some things are worth bringing out. Do you understand this? So don't look and just say, it's in the past. There's some gold gleaming back there. And there's some people back there. And there's some stuff that it's worth bringing back to life again. If you're not careful, you're jaded to that. And you just write it all off and you walk away and you do further damage. Not only that, the Bible says that Jesus is the light. You ever read that? Have you ever read where it says Jesus is the light and if you follow him, you'll walk in the light? How many of you have a past? Let's get this straight for a minute. I mean, my hand's up. Yeah, some people are raising the people's hands beside them right now. It's like, I mean, a lot of, and I'm talking about a past. Here's what I found, and I hope you hear this, man. This was like one of those aha moments for me. That light that's on right now, let's just say for an analogy, that light is Christ, okay? Where's my shadow right now? You see it? It's behind me, right? Let's just call that the shadow of my past right now, okay? If I'm facing the light, where's my shadow? You know what I found out? And this was one of these moments God really helped me understand. For me to be seeing the shadow of my past, do you see which way I have to face? And when I start living in the shadow of my past, I'm facing the wrong way. Amen. Amen. And so if you're walking and you start seeing your past, you're not really, you know, it's like not too messed up, but not too good. Anytime you start dealing with this, understand you need to turn again, because you've got to keep your past in the past and quit dealing with it in ways that messes your day up. Amen. And so God has helped me understand anytime that I'm living in the shadow of my past, it's because I'm not facing the light and I'm not going the right direction at that moment. Amen? Let's give him one more thanks for that. I want to share with you what I'm hoping will be true about me a year from now, and I'm hoping will be true about you a year from now as well. There's four things that I'm believing God's going to do in our lives this year. One, I want us all to live increasingly in the light. You know, I've learned in very difficult and ugly ways, don't leave shadows in your life. Satan lives in the shadows. There's bad stuff in the shadows. And I thank God I'm in the light right now, and I don't want any shadows in my life. And I want it to be said that for each of us that, you know, if we need to put light in our life in any area, there's freedom in the light. And as you go toward the light, the shadows have to go at bay. And not only the shadows of being clean and keeping all that gone, but also the light of God's word. Don't listen to what people say about you. I mean, people will hurt you, man. And if you're struggling with he said and she said, go see what God says about it. Because if God says you're forgiven, guess what you are? You're forgiven. I mean, whatever your issue is, you know, if you need to go free from addiction, the Bible says they that are who the Son sets free are free indeed. Indeed means action. In action, you're free. Find what the Word says to those and live increasingly in the light. I want it to be true of me that I'm drawn toward the light this year, that the Word becomes a greater part of my life, my home, my family. And also, I want to challenge you, allow your heart to fully live this year. If you feel jaded from your past, if you feel like your past has just beat your heart up and damaged you, and you're afraid or fear has got you or whatever, just determine that God has not given you a spirit of fear and that you're going to live in a sound mind in the power of His love this year. But whatever it takes, tear down the walls that might be around your heart. I know I've got to do it. I'm telling you, I know where the jaded is. I know where the cynicism is. I know where the prejudices are. And I have to continually pray that God keeps setting me free of anger and attitudes and junk that's just piled up in me over the last couple years. And I want to fully live. I want it to be said of me that I've learned to fully love again and receive love. Because right now, that's not always true of me. Anyone understand this? Y'all right hearing it? And also, I mean, allow us to be quicker to forgive. You know where God healed me in anger and unforgiveness? Is in prayer. Because in me, man, there was a storm raging that, I mean, it just wasn't good. There were some people on my radar that, And I read this scripture, said, pray for those that spitefully use you and bless your enemies. And I was like, I don't want to pray for them. And yet God taught me that if you deal with it here, I'll heal your heart and I'll let all that emotion come out and all that stuff. And yet I still, it's easy for something to trigger and emotion and stuff. And I want to be quicker to let it just shed off. Like, hey, I'm living above it, man. I got to keep moving on. Fully live. Let bitterness, let prejudice, let anger and cynicism. You know the word that wraps this up for me? I want to laugh a lot more this year. I love to laugh, man. My problem is when you're not laughing, I'm laughing. I'm weird, but man, I want to laugh this year. I want to sit around with friends and family, with Sean, my kids, my wife, with you, and just laugh. Enjoy life. I want to fully live this year again. Amen. And you know something else I've identified? I want to be a greater giver again this year. You know, I've found where I'm not giving Christ away real easily anymore. And not really sure what all that's about, but I'm not in a harvest field like I used to be. And man, I want to be sweating and out of breath for Christ again and given what He's given me, not just in this room, but other places in my world. I want to give Christ away and I want to be proud of Christ and I want to be proud of what Christ can do in us again. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then I want us to thrive in the sources of abundant life this year. Jesus in 10:10 said, John 10:10 said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's true. And He says, however, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And, you know, each of us are wired a little differently, thank God. And every one of us has a little different formula for what the abundant life looks like. And I know that part of my sources, this is my abundant life, you know, being used of Christ like this. It's incredible that I get to do this again. But I know there's other pieces that as He pours in, I've got to become a conduit again. And I want to be tapped into the sources of abundant life in my life, like prayer life. You know, Sean and I praying together, and I want that to be consistent and just things that I know where God is able to give me spiritual things, Do you follow me? Supernatural, not being wooey, but I mean things of God, things of heaven. And I want to identify and live in those sources to where in the world, I'm a pilgrim again. I'm a tourist here. This is not my home. I'm going home one day. And I want to be close to God again to where, and I shouldn't say again, I feel close to Him now, actually very close, but I want to be aware of God in my life. I want to be sensitive to His nudgings and His promptings, whether I'm in, you know, Harris Teeter or Starbucks or at the gym or wherever. I just want to be aware of the source again of God. And then, lastly, I would like it to be true of us that we've given God greater control this year than we did last year. Whatever that looks like, that every one of us would get the white flag out and just wave it and say, God, you know, I surrender to you more than I have been. And for me, I don't know if it's true about you. It probably is. Me getting on my knees in prayer is important. I mean, I can pray standing up. I can pray driving. I can do all that. But I have to get on my knees from time to time. Because that's a symbol of submitting to an authority, a power that's greater than you. And almost every time I pray, the first thing I say when I get on my knees is, I bow my knees before your throne, and I know my life is not my own. It's a song, but I love that, man. I just say, God, I bow again. And there are times it's like you got to get the white flag out again. You know, because you took control, Bob. You got in it. Yep, I got to bow again. And I'm hoping for every one of us that whatever spiritual consistency would look like, that would be more true in our lives. That we would be in the Word. We would be in prayer. We would fast. We would share Christ to where He would have greater capacity and greater access of our lives. See, we can all look set, you know, and we do it. I mean, you know, we set these goals like, you know, I want to save $12 this year and I want to get a new cat, you know, and stupid stuff. But I mean, it's the essence of life that we really need to think about. What do you want people to really say about you? And whether they say it or not, what do you want to know about yourself? What do you really want to look at in the mirror and say, you know what? Old things have passed away in you, Bob. All things have become new. You are a new creation. And don't you want to look and know that God is doing, like, I mean, just tinkering in your life and messing with your heart and truly creating you? Don't you? One of the quotes that, you know, I love says, some people feel the rain, and some people just get wet. I want to feel the rain this year. I want to feel every drop of life that God gives me. I want to live in the moment and know that I didn't mess it up yesterday, so I'm afraid today. I want to be able to trust and know that the life I'm living is why God can bless me again. And I want the same for you. Amen. Let's give God a ridiculous hand clap of praise. I want to start the year off and close the day in a very different way. I've never done this that I know of, but I think it'll help all of us. If you're a guest here, we're glad you're here. We're going to close in a moment. But here's what I'd like to do today. See that area right up in the front? It's called an altar. And for whatever reason, you still think we're in an auditorium. And you know me. I love the altars. I believe we live and die in the altars. I believe God changes us. And so what I would like to do today is for all of us to stand right now. I'm not doing anything weird. Don't get nervous. And I would like us all to come up front, if you don't mind, just for a moment. I'm not going to do anything but pray, so don't get some of you like, oh my gosh, what's he going to do next? I just want you to get comfortable with the front of this building. That's really what it is. I want you to know where the altars are, right? For some of you, this is your first trip up here, and I'm breaking the ice for you. But I want you to be comfortable here. You know, this is the building where Genesis exists right now. And there'll be other buildings that'll all come. But until we get out of here, this is your altar. This is the place that if God comes, see, there's communion right here in the middle. There's tables over here with oil. And if during worship, God's moving on your heart, and you say, you know, God, I just want to go down to the altar, you now know where it's at. Isn't it incredible? And communion, we've set it up to where we're going to do communion, but there may be times you just want to come up during worship and do communion. Do it. There's going to be times where God rocks your world. I mean, whether it's during the worship, during a message, somewhere. And I mean, he just grabs you and says, this is your day. I'm talking to you. And I want you to be so free in here to say, you know what? I'm going up. It's not about who's going to watch you. If they're watching you, smack them when you go by and say, and I'm serious. I mean, if people are watching you, they need to be up here. But don't ever not respond to God, because I'm not here to fill an auditorium. I promise you. I'm here to see us, this group right here, have encounters with God that changes us. And if God fills the auditorium, which he will, that'll be cool. But if we fill an auditorium and we can't fill these altars, I don't want to be here. I'll be very honest with you. I didn't come back in this for all the buzz and the whistles. God didn't call me back for that. God called me back to see lives changed and marriages put together and ministries restored. And I want you to know that we are in love with each other at this place, and we want to fight for each other to make it. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so whatever it takes in those moments, if you have to, grab someone beside you and say, I got to go up. And they'll go with you. But don't be afraid of the altar, man. This is where it all happens. Amen? And so I want to close in prayer. And I tell you how I want to close today. I want us all to rededicate our lives today. And I'm not going to lead us in a prayer, but I'm going to pray my prayer. And while I pray, will you pray your prayer? And will you just ask God to forgive you of your sins? And will you just tell him, hey, you know, I really want to change my life. And say it in your own way to where you walk out of here today, you just feel like, you know what? There is some hope. And Paul would stand up here today and say, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a new guy on the stage of your life. His name is Jesus. He just wants to start having a voice. Father, Sean, where's Sean? Come up here, babe. Father, I love you so much. I'm so grateful, God, for what you've done. I'm grateful for what you've done in my heart, what you've done in my mind. I'm grateful, God, for what you've done in my marriage. Thank you for Sean. I thank you for my kids, for Kendall and Ashton, for Taylor, and for Gage and Jordan, God, and the blessings you brought into our homes. I thank you for joy and peace. Happiness, for the gift of love. I thank you, God, for Genesis, for my friends, for those that are here today, those that have come back and become our friends. And I pray, God, that you would forgive me of any sin, of all sin, of any shortcoming, all shortcomings, and that today your voice would have a greater stage in my life, and that the old God would truly be passed away, that I would face the light and not let the shadows of my past influence me, influence my home, but your Spirit would live in us and through us. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for what we feel in this sanctuary right now. We go out of here with the hope of you, the power of you, and help every one of us, God. If we fall down, to get back up. Help us to feel the rain, God, and to fully live this year. You're incredible. And I so thank you for Genesis, beginnings. And we all claim one today. In Jesus' name. And each and every one of us would say, amen. I love you guys. Yeah, give God a hand. Man, God's incredible. Yeah. We love you guys. And I'll share with you the next couple weeks a better us, what I feel God's going to do with us, man. This is a good day, amen. Introduce yourself to somebody you don't know at the altar, and we'll see you in a minute. God bless y'all.